In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. O Lord Jesus Christ, open thou the eyes of my heart, that I may hear thy word, and understand, and do thy will, for I'm a sojourner upon the earth. Hide not thy commandments from me, but open mine eyes, that I may perceive the wonders of thy law. Speak unto me the hidden and secret things of thy wisdom. On thee do I set my hope, O my God, that thou shalt enlighten my mind and understanding with the light of thy knowledge, not only to cherish those things which are written, but to do them, that in reading the lives and sayings of the saints I may not sin, but that such may serve for my restoration, enlightenment, and sanctification, for the salvation of my soul, and the inheritance of life everlasting. For thou art the enlightenment of those who lie in darkness, and from thee cometh every good deed and every gift. Amen. Today is Thursday, June the 27th, 2024. For our scripture readings today, we have sections from Romans and Matthew. And for our reading from the lives of the saints, we have Surety of Sinners, Icon of the Mother of God of Koretz, and Saint Samson, the Hospitable of Constantinople. So we're going to start off with Romans chapter 1, verses 28 through chapter 2, verse 9. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a debased mind, to do those things which are not fitting, being filled with all unrighteousness, sexual immorality, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, evil-mindedness. They are whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, violent, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, undiscerning, untrustworthy, unloving, unforgiving, unmerciful. Who, knowing the righteous judgment of God, that those who practice such things are deserving of death, not only do the same, but also approve of those who practice them. Therefore, you are inexcusable, O man, whoever you are who judge, for in whatever you judge another, you condemn yourself, for you who judge practice the same things. But we know that the judgment of God is according to truth against those who practice such things. And do you think this, O man, you who judge those practicing such things, and doing the same, that you will escape the judgment of God? Or do you despise the riches of his goodness, forbearance, and long-suffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leads you to repentance? But in accordance with your hardness and your impenitent heart, you are treasuring up for yourself wrath in the day of wrath and revelation of the righteous judgment of God, who will render to each one according to his deeds. Eternal life to those by patient continuance in doing good seek for glory, honor, and immortality. But to those who are self-seeking and do not obey the truth, but obey unrighteousness, indignation and wrath, tribulation and anguish on every soul of man who does evil, of the Jew first, and also of the Greek. On to Matthew, chapter 5, verse 27 through 32. You have heard that it was said of those of old, "You shall not commit adultery." But I say to you that whoever looks at a woman to lust for her has already committed adultery with her in his heart. If your right eye causes you to sin, pluck it out and cast it from you. For it is more profitable for you that one of your members perish than for your whole body to be cast into hell. And if your right hand causes you to sin, cut it off and cast it from you. For it is more profitable for you that one of your members perish than for your whole body to be cast into hell. Furthermore, it has been said, whoever divorces his wife, let him give her a certificate of divorce. But I say to you that whoever divorces his wife for any reason except sexual immorality causes her to commit adultery, and whoever marries a woman who is divorced commits adultery. That is our scripture reading for today. On to the first Lives of the Saints section, the Surety of Sinners, icon of the Mother of God of Koretz. This ancient icon of the Mother of God, Surety of Sinners of Koretz, was kept in the castle of the Koretz princes for a long time, and it was called Blessed. After the death of Samuel, the last of the Orthodox princes of Koretz, his brother John offered to let his sister, Igumenes Seraphima, take the icon from the prince's chapel to Holy Resurrection Koretz Maidens Monastery. The solemn transfer of the icon took place in 1622, on the Thursday after Pentecost. On that day, a feast day was established in honor of the Surety of Sinners icon of Koretz. From 1752 to 1795, the fates of the Koretz icon was closely associated with the history of Koretz Monastery, which was under the control of the Unates. According to some reports, the icon was moved several times during this period, and the Surety of Sinners icon of Koretz remained in the possession of the Catholics, who also revered it miraculous. In 1795, by decree of Empress Catherine II, part of the monastery was given to Orthodox nuns. The Surety of Sinners icon of Koretz was also returned to the Orthodox monastery. On August 19, 1797, there was a fire in the monastery. Some of the buildings were destroyed, but the wonder-working icon was saved. After the monastery's restoration, the Surety of Sinners icon was placed in the high place in the new Church of the Dormition, rebuilt with materials from the former trapeza. At this time, a gilded silver oclad with enamels was made for the icon. After reconstruction and repairs in 1880, the consecration of Holy Trinity Monastery took place. The nuns of Holy Resurrection Monastery moved, and the Koretz Holy Trinity Stavropagial Convent was formed. Its main shrine is the wonder-working Surety of Sinners icon of Koretz. On August 17, 1998, Igumenes Natalia Ilchuk of Koretz Holy Trinity Monastery sent a petition to Patriarch Alexei II of Moscow and all Russia to include the Koretz icon of the Mother of God in its list of wonder-working icons of the Mother of God in the Patriarchal Church calendar. With the Patriarch's blessing, the celebration of the Koretz icon was approved. In November of 2001, there was an attempt to steal the icon, but the thieves managed to take only her precious oclad. Through public donations, a new Riza was made, which is a copy of the lost one. More than once, the wonder-working icon revealed its grace-filled help for the suffering. In 1923, on the Feast of the Holy Trinity, a young man who was possessed by an unclean spirit was healed before the icon. The following year, from the Feast of the Ascension until the Thursday after Pentecost, there were incessant showers in Volhynia. Miraculously, after a cross procession around the church with the icon, the rain subsided. Many of the faithful who turned to the Queen of Heaven for her help and intercession in case of any disorders, family problems, and particularly afflictions of the soul, indicated that after praying before the icon, they received spiritual relief and peace, for she is truly the Surety of Sinners. The Surety of Sinners icon of the Mother of God belongs to the Hodagrachia type. It is a half-length image of the Most Holy Theotokos, with the Divine Infant on her left hand, who holds her tight with hand, who holds her right hand with both hands. The word surety means one who acts as a guarantor for us before God. The Most Holy Theotokos prays for all of us, good and evil, sinners and righteous, forgiving all, accepting all with equal love. The inscription on the icon reads, I am the surety of sinners for my Son, who has entrusted me to hear them. And those who bring me the joy of hearing them shall receive everlasting joy through me. The surety of sinners icon of Koretz is painted on a wooden board measuring 102 by 76 centimeters. In contrast to the surety of sinners icon of the Mother of God at St. Nicholas Monastery in Ordrino, March the 7th and May 29th, the Koretz icon shows the Mother of God and the Divine Infant inclined toward each other, with their cheeks touching. The icon is located in Holy Trinity Convent at Koretz. And there's a footnote here saying that the location behind the altar is where the... let's see if I can scroll up and find the footnote mark. I think that's where it was stored, in one of the monasteries. I'm not seeing it, so we will move it along to the next reading, which is Saint Samson the Hospitable of Constantinople. Saint Samson was born in Rome, the son of wealthy but devout and virtuous parents. He received an excellent education, studying philosophy and medicine, among other subjects. From his earliest childhood, he lived an exemplary Christian life. After the death of his parents, he transformed the family estate into a clinic for the sick. Word of his healing skills spread, and so many people came to him that had to hire a staff to... he had to hire a staff to care for the increasing numbers of people who sought his help. When he had an adequate staff, he donated all of his wealth to the clinic and was content to live in poverty. Saint Samson went to Constantinople, where he hoped to spend the rest of his life in asceticism. He found, however, that there was just as much need for his skill in Constantinople as there had been in Rome. He bought a modest home and began to treat the sick. God blessed Saint Samson's work and gave him the grace of working miracles. He healed the sick, not only by his medical skill, but also as one filled with the grace of God. News of Saint Samson spread rapidly throughout the Queen of Cities. His piety and love for his neighbor brought him to the attention of Patriarch Manas of Constantinople, August the 25th, who ordained him to the holy priesthood. When Emperor Justinian became ill, and his physicians were unable to provide any relief for him, Patriarch Manas suggested that he send for Samson, who healed the emperor. Justinian offered him gold and silver to show his gratitude, but the saint refused, saying that he had already given all his wealth away. Instead, he asked Justinian to build a hospice for travelers. His life was written by Saint Simeon Metaphrastes. The historian Procopius, however, implies that Samson lived before the 6th century, and that the hospice had existed before his own time. When Samson's hospice Zenon was burnt and destroyed in 532, Justinian rebuilt it and endowed it with a generous annual income. It was intended for the destitute and those who suffered from serious illnesses, as well as those who had lost their property or their health. Saint Samson reposed quietly, following a brief illness, in the year 530 at a ripe old age. He was buried in the church of Saint Mochios, which was built by Saint Constantine the Great. Many miracles of healing took place at the tomb of Saint Samson. After his death, the saint continued to watch over his hospice. Twice he appeared to a lazy worker and chastised him for his negligence. Later, the hospice became a church, and a new building for the homeless was constructed beside it. A terrible fire once raged in Constantinople, but did not damage the church or the new building. Through the prayers of Saint Samson, a heavy rain extinguished the flames. The appointed scriptural readings for his feast are from Galatians chapter 5, verse 23, through chapter 6, verse 2, and from Luke chapter 12, verses 32 through 40. Through the prayers of Saint Samson, may we also find the treasure which does not fail in heaven. That's very good. What a good saint it sounds like. It's truly an act of faith to give up your wealth like that. All right. Thank you for tuning in, and all glory to God. Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, both now and forever, and unto the ages of ages. Amen.